"'She's a Veeler,' he said hoarsely to Harry. "'Of course she isn't,' said Hermione tartly. "'I don't see anyone else gaping at her like an idiot.' But she wasn't entirely right about that. As the girl crossed the hall, many boys' heads turned, and some of them seemed to have become temporarily speechless, just like Ron. "'I'm telling you, that's not a normal girl,' said Ron, leaning sideways, so he could keep a clear view of her. "'They don't make them like that at Hogwarts.' "'They make them okay at Hogwarts,' said Harry, without thinking. Cho Chang happened to be sitting only a few places away from the girl with the silvery hair. "'When you've both put your eyes back in,' said Hermione briskly, "'you'll be able to see who's just arrived.' She was pointing up at the staff table. The two remaining empty seats had just been filled. Ludo Bagman was now sitting on Professor Karkaroff's other side, while Mr. Crouch, Percy's boss, was next to Madame Maxime. "'What are they doing here?' said Harry in surprise. "'They organized the Triwizard Tournament, didn't they?' said Hermione. "'I suppose they wanted to be here to see it start.' When the second course arrived, they noticed a number of unfamiliar puddings, too. Ron examined an odd sort of pale blancmange closely, then moved it carefully a few inches to his right, so that it would be clearly visible from the Ravenclaw table. The girl who looked like a Veeler appeared to have eaten enough, however, and did not come over to get it. Once the golden plates had been wiped clean, Dumbledore stood up again. A pleasant sort of tension seemed to fill the hall now. Harry felt a slight thrill of excitement, wondering what was coming. Several seats along from them, Fred and George were leaning forwards, staring at Dumbledore with great concentration. "'The moment has come,' said Dumbledore, smiling around at the sea of upturned faces. "'The Triwizard Tournament is about to start. I would like to say a few words of explanation before we bring in the casket.'
"'The what?' Harry muttered. Ron shrugged.
"'Just to clarify the procedure which we will be following this year. But firstly, let me introduce, for those who do not know them, Mr. Bartemius Crouch, head of the Department of International Magical Cooperation,' there was a smattering of polite applause, "'and Mr. Ludo Bagman, head of the Department of Magical Games and Sports.' There was a much louder round of applause for Bagman than for Crouch, perhaps because of his fame as a beater, or simply because he looked so much more likable. He acknowledged it with a jovial wave of his hand. Bartemius Crouch did not smile or wave when his name was announced. Remembering him in his neat suit at the Quidditch World Cup, Harry thought he looked strange in wizard's robes. His toothbrush moustache and severe parting looked very odd next to Dumbledore's long white hair and beard. "'Mr. Bagman and Mr. Crouch have worked tirelessly over the last few months on the arrangements for the Triwizard Tournament,' Dumbledore continued, "'and they will be joining myself, Professor Karkaroff, and Madame Maxime on the panel which will judge the champion's efforts.' At the mention of the word champions, the attentiveness of the listening students seemed to sharpen. Perhaps Dumbledore had noticed their sudden stillness, for he smiled as he said, "'The casket, then, if you please, Mr. Filch.' Filch, who had been lurking unnoticed in a far corner of the hall, now approached Dumbledore, carrying a great wooden chest encrusted with jewels. It looked extremely old. A murmur of excited interest rose from the watching students. Dennis Creevey actually stood on his chair to see it properly, but being so tiny, his head hardly rose above anyone else's. "'The instructions for the tasks the champions will face this year have already been examined by Mr. Crouch and Mr. Bagman,' said Dumbledore, as Filch placed the chest carefully on the table before him. "'And they have made the necessary arrangements for each challenge. "'There will be three tasks, spaced throughout the school year, "'and they will test the champions in many different ways, "'their magical prowess, their daring, their powers of deduction, "'and, of course, their ability to cope with danger.' "'At this last word, the hall was filled with a silence so absolute "'that nobody seemed to be breathing.' "As you know, 3 champions compete in the tournament," Dumbledore went on calmly, "one from each of the participating schools. They will be marked on how well they perform each of the tournament tasks, and the champion with the highest total after task 3 will win the Tri-Wizard Cup. The champions will be chosen by an impartial selector, the Goblet of Fire." Dumbledore now took out his wand and tapped 3 times upon the top of the casket. The lid creaked slowly open. Dumbledore reached inside it and pulled out a large, roughly hewn, wooden cup. It would have been entirely unremarkable had it not been full to the brim with dancing, blue-white flames. Dumbledore closed the casket and placed the goblet carefully on top of it, where it would be clearly visible to everyone in the hall. "Anybody wishing to submit themselves as champion must write their name and school clearly upon a slip of parchment and drop it into the goblet," said Dumbledore. "Aspiring champions have 24 hours in which to put their names forward. Tomorrow night, Halloween, the goblet will return the names of the 3 it has judged most worthy to represent their schools. The goblet will be placed in the entrance hall tonight, where it will be freely accessible to all those wishing to compete. To ensure that no underage student yields to temptation," said Dumbledore, "I will be drawing an age line around the Goblet of Fire once it has been placed in the entrance hall. Nobody under the age of 17 will be able to cross this line. Finally, I wish to impress upon any of you wishing to compete that this tournament is not to be entered into lightly. Once a champion has been selected by the Goblet of Fire, he or she is obliged to see the tournament through to the end. The placing of your name in the goblet constitutes a binding magical contract. There can be no change of heart once you have become champion. Please be very sure, therefore, that you are wholeheartedly prepared to play before you drop your name into the goblet. Now, I think it is time for bed. Good night to you all."
"An age line," Fred Weasley said, his eyes glinting as they all made their way across the hall to the doors into the entrance hall. "Well, that should be fooled by an aging potion, shouldn't it? And once your name's in that goblet, you're laughing. It can't tell whether you're 17 or not."
"But I don't think anyone under 17 will stand a chance," said Hermione. "We just haven't learnt enough."
"Speak for yourself," said George shortly. "You'll try and get in, won't you, Harry?" Harry thought briefly of Dumbledore's insistence that nobody under 17 should submit their name, but then the wonderful picture of himself winning the Tri-Wizard Cup filled his mind again. He wondered how angry Dumbledore would be if someone younger than 17 did find a way to get over the age line. "Where is he?" said Ron, who wasn't listening to a word of this conversation, but looking through the crowd to see what had become of Crumb. "Dumbledore didn't say where the Durmstrang people are sleeping, did he?" But this query was answered almost instantly. They were level with the Slytherin table now, and Karkaroff had just bustled up to his students.